Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Hi, I'm Hope Anderson. Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
Good morning, friends. As you can see, I'm preaching from home today because this has been a week in flux. One of the challenging things about pre-recording worship is that stuff happens, and it seems so important for us to acknowledge the realities of the world around us as a gathered community and to reflect on them through the lens of our faith. So thanks to Joe's graciousness and flexibility, I'm recording this on Friday morning, which is much later than our usual schedule for recording. And even waiting this long in hopes of having a better sense of how the world is around us, the truth is that stuff is still happening and things continue to be in flux. But perhaps it makes sense to preach from just such a space, a place of uncertainty, a place of not knowing, because that more genuinely reflects the nature of our lives the majority of the time. Things are always in flux. We don't live from static snapshot to static snapshot. Things are always moving, changing, evolving. And we as people of faith seek first and foremost to discern the movement and the invitation of the Sacred Spirit in the midst of it all. So at first glance, our scripture reading may seem totally at odds with anything relevant to our lives at the moment. It's about a big wedding, and we haven't had too many of those in recent days. But as is often the case, the more I sat with this text, the more I discovered threads that felt meaningful and true, that felt like something I could hold on to this week. I wrote 3 outlines for this sermon, and I scrapped each one as the days went on. In the end, what I decided to do was simply share the threads that emerged for me, and I'll look forward to hearing if there are other threads that emerge for you and hearing about what you are holding on to these days. So the scene in our parable is a wedding, and weddings were a big deal then, just like they're a big deal now. We actually hear a good bit about weddings in the Bible. The process, though, was altogether different. And part of the tradition, the part that's relevant to our scripture passage today, was for the groom to travel to the bride's home to pick her up and to bring her back to his household. When the couple arrived back at the groom's home, the wedding party would greet them, and off they would all go to the wedding banquet, a great and a joyful celebration. But as you might imagine, travel in that day was a different matter. Depending on distance to be traveled, the conditions on that day, the makeup of the traveling party, predicting an arrival time could be very difficult. So the wedding party would be assembled and prepared for whenever the groom and bride might arrive. So that's the backdrop for this parable in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew is well known for sharing Jesus's parables in a very allegorical way. Whereas Jesus might not have assigned so much meaning and symbolism to every character in the parable, Matthew clearly does. So in this parable, the groom isn't any old groom. The groom is Jesus. And you might have noticed that there isn't any mention of a bride at all. That's because it's all about Jesus. And the reason Matthew was lifting this up was because in the minds and hearts of that early Christian community, Jesus was terribly delayed. They had good indicators that Jesus would return, sometimes referred to as the second coming, to judge the living and the dead, if you're familiar with the language in the Apostles' Creed. And with the second coming, Jesus would then usher in the new creation. And while it's an important part of our theology, United Methodists don't spend a lot of time focusing on the second coming, in part because contemporary speculations have often been just that, speculative and often presented in a way that frightens people. And United Methodists tend to focus more on the here and now. But Christians of that day expected and yearned for Christ's return. They were looking out to the figurative horizon all the time. What, they wondered, was taking Jesus so long? And while we don't have the same heightened expectations about Jesus's return, I imagine that we as individuals and as a community can resonate at least with this notion of delay. It's kind of interesting that this parable that focuses in on delay comes to us during this time, because COVID-19 has created a massive amount of delays in our lives, hasn't it? You know intimately the delays that it's created for you and for your family. Everything from delayed travel plans to delayed weddings and funerals, delayed business development, delayed sports seasons, and this week we're slogging through the delay in our election process. Due to COVID-19, so many of us mailed in ballots or voted ahead that it's just taking longer. Our lives overfloweth with delays. And I don't know about you, but I don't do that well with delays. I ought to. We ought to. We have plenty of opportunities to practice. But I get cranky when things don't go as scheduled. I get anxious. I get a little untethered. So I look at these 10 bridesmaids from our parable, the ones who endured this prolonged delay, and find myself pretty sympathetic. We're told in the parable that 5 of the bridesmaids were wise and 5 were foolish, but I really can't find a lot of fault in any of them. They were all there, appropriately dressed and ready for the party. To the extent we're able to tell, they all waited patiently for the groom to arrive. They all fell asleep, and who could blame them? It was late at night. And the one and only thing that distinguished them is that when the groom finally did arrive, 5 of them had extra oil to make sure their light would continue to burn, and 5 of them did not. In a little bit of a panic, the 5 unprepared bridesmaids asked to borrow some oil from the 5 prepared bridesmaids, and the 5 prepared bridesmaids, that's a mouthful, said no. The unprepared bridesmaids were out of luck and ended up missing out on the banquet altogether. They were completely shut out. And my first response to this scenario is, geez, that's a little harsh. Couldn't they have just shared the oil and all gone to the party together? That seems like it would be the Christian thing to do. But then we remember that Matthew is offering this parable as an allegory. So the groom isn't just a groom, and the bridesmaids aren't just bridesmaids, and the oil isn't just oil. But if the oil isn't just oil, then what is it? That's the thread I tried to sit with this week. It's clearly essential. It's at the heart of this parable. It's what everything seems to hinge on. What does that oil represent? Well, for Matthew and his community, what most people seem to think the oil represents could be summed up in something like good works or faithful living or authentic discipleship. It was kind of the notion of walking the walk and not just talking the talk. The last few sentences in this parable tell how the foolish bridesmaids finally made it back and knocked on the door of the wedding banquet saying, "Lord, Lord, let us in." These words clearly echo an earlier statement in Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." So in more contemporary language, it's saying that the walk is as important or more important than the talk. It's not enough for me to say, "I'm a Christian." My life should also reflect that in an ongoing way. In order to let my light shine, I need to replenish the oil with ongoing acts of faith and hope and love. And while I will always struggle with these passages that tend toward black and white thinking, with some people being in and some people being out, I can still take away an important word from this parable. And that is that the journey is long. The delays are significant. In Martin Luther King Jr.'s words, the arc of the moral universe is long. And I need to be intentional about fueling and then refueling the lamp so that my light can shine for as long as it takes. You know, this past Tuesday has been a focal point for all of us for a very long time. Regardless of our political perspectives, we have anticipated its arrival for months or even years. And while the election results aren't conclusive at this time, what is conclusive is that we are a pretty divided nation and that there is a lot of anger and hurt and fear that is separating us. And no matter what the outcome of this election is, we have a lot of work to do. I listened to a podcast this week called The Growing Edge, which is hosted by Parker Palmer and Carrie Newcomer. They were talking with Valerie Carr, who is the founder of the Revolutionary Love Project. And they were talking about the emotional ups and downs around elections. Elections create an environment of winners and losers. And as human beings, we generally feel good when we're on the winning side, and we feel crushed when we're on the losing side. And Valerie, the guest on the show, reached out to Parker Palmer after a past election, sharing her feelings of being demoralized, feeling like all of her hard work and efforts had failed, feeling like she had failed. And Parker said this to her, which she repeated on the podcast. He said, "Maybe instead of measuring our success by outcomes, we should measure it by our faithfulness to the labor. Instead of measuring our success by outcomes, we should measure it by our faithfulness to the labor." And that rang true for me and reminded me of the oil in the lamp. It needs tending to. It needs to be replenished. It's an ongoing effort. There will always be delays, sometimes big ones like pandemics. There will be more election days. And sometimes we'll feel like a winner, and sometimes we'll feel like a loser. But in the end, we're called to keep on keeping on and doing our best day by day to stay faithful to the labor of love and peace, the labor of mercy and justice. That's how the light continues to shine. My significant other, Leslie, is a UCC minister, and she preached virtually at a friend's church this past Sunday. Aware of what a day of convergence Tuesday was going to be, she recounted a portion of a sermon that she had heard many years ago. The preacher talked about how we live in a Good Friday world with perils and struggles and hardships that sometimes seem all too abundant, but that we are not ultimately a Friday people. We are a Sunday people. We know the hope that we are living into. We know the arc of the moral universe is long but ends in justice. We know that peace, shalom, are on the ultimate horizon. Regardless of how many Fridays come and go, we are a Sunday people. And along those same lines, she pointed out that last Tuesday might have tempted us to believe that we are a Tuesday people. We all felt that day coming for a long time. So much hope and angst and energy converged on that day. And it was a significant, important day. It was. But in the long run, we are not Tuesday people. We are Sunday people, and strengthened by the Spirit, supported by one another, we will weather the delays and the ups and downs of this life's journey, and we will stay faithful the best we can to the labor of love. We'll fuel our lamps and let our light shine and keep on keeping on together. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we gather our hearts, spirits, and intention together in this time of prayer, lifting up to you the needs of our lives, our community, our world, and at the same time making space within us and among us to receive your wisdom, your guidance, your grace. As those created in your image, we pray that you would ever continue to make us and mold us so that our lives may more and more clearly be a reflection of you. We ask that you draw near with tender mercies to those who are sick in body, heart, or soul. Help us on your behalf to be a healing and restorative balm for one another. God, who is always seeking reconciliation, we grieve deeply the divisions that are so evident among us. Our country is weary and hurting and conflicted. We know that this is not your will for us. We pray for paths that might allow us to see and hold one another much more gently and graciously. We pray for deep listening and genuine understanding. We pray for meaningful action in places where action has been needed for far too long. We pray for healing within us and among us as we move forth into the coming days, weeks, months, and years. Forgive and redirect us when our fear drives us to small or myopic places. Help us instead to live as bold instruments of your peace and justice. Replenish our focus and energy that we might remain faithful to the holy work that is yet before us. Slow us down in ways that allow us to find joy, meaning, peace, in that ongoing endeavor. Fuel us with hope that we might shine on your behalf on this day and for all our days. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.